Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a man finds an overwhelming feeling to turn and look behind him in a cemetery. He writes in to share what it was that he saw. Squirrels. A listener finds her interest in the paranormal could not prepare her for what she encountered at her friend's home. A child that has an extended hospital stay finds many things in the floors that are off limits. And one family has one last surprise Christmas morning after all the presents are opened.
Yay.
Krampus made a surprise visit to one home. That very special tale today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm getting ready for Krampus.
There's no Krampus.
Oh, it'd be so much fun.
No, I'm just going to burst that bubble right now. There's no Krampus.
Are there any other holidays where there's like the anti-hero in other cultures? I mean, Krampus is not an American thing, I believe. Where does it originate? It's somewhere in Europe, I believe. Or is it Norway? Or
I don't know.
I don't know. I think it might be way up. Our Norwegian listeners can fill me in. I think it actually originates in that neck of the woods. I should know this being somewhat Norwegian, but I don't know. I'm just gonna sit here and stare at you until you come up with the answer to that question.
Oh, sorry.
Origins of Krampus, go.
You would know that more than me.
Human Wikipedia. I'm interested in the one the hospital stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Finds many things on the floors that are off limits. Oh, I get it. It's like things that are around the floors of the hospital.
It's like a whole floor, like the ninth floor is off limits.
I get it. I was like literally thinking, looking at the floor and going, you can't step on that tile.
No.
Because that's how my mind works.
No, floor as in storage.
I get you. I'm just kind of slow like that. remember when I was a kid, did you ever eat anything off the floor?
No.
No, never?
Oh, I probably did as a kid, but no.
Remember, this is kind of a spooky experience. We were, I believe it was after my Grandma Jika's funeral. Like, literally, right after.
Mm-hmm.
The family wanted to go and find some place to eat. And I don't know how or why we ended up here. But we were in the Knights of Columbus Hall. And it was not open. And I don't know why, when they realized, hey, there's no one here, we should probably leave. They didn't just leave.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, like, the entire family ended up in the Knights of Columbus Hall. And I'm going to tell this story the way I remember it from like a 6 or 7 year old perspective. And I'm sure my mom will write in later in the week and tell me what was really going on. But here's how I remember it.
Okay.
The family, we were going to go and eat at the Knights of Columbus Hall. Don't know why. Don't know. I think it was like probably like a Sunday afternoon or something, which is not a normal time that they're open. Maybe they had booked something and no one was there. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I just know we were really hungry after the funeral. And there was a lot of my relatives that were all in this dark Knights of Columbus Hall. Couldn't find the light switch because I think it's like actually back in a breaker box or something to flip the whole room. Big hall. And there were my aunts and uncles and all that. They were trying to find a phone book. This is, pre-technology. To, call manager or something. They're trying to call somebody. I don't know who the hell they were trying to call. I just remember getting back to the floor and eating things off of it. Being 5 or 6, and recently seeing some sort of cartoon where, like, the characters are, like, eating shit they found on the floor.
Uh-huh.
I started doing that because I thought it'd be kind of funny, and realized how gross it was once I picked up a couple crumbs of something by where the salad bar was.
That's really gross.
It was a spooky, dark Knights of Columbus Hall after a funeral for my great-grandmother.
That's great.
This is my recollection of it. Mom, feel free to fill me in on what was really going on there that day.
Are you sure that really happened?
I'm sure.
I'm positive. That sounds like some kind of weird dream.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not, because then shortly thereafter, I had a second, my dad's cousin, I believe. He sold shit out of the back of his van. I don't know what or why. It was just like random junk, like flea market shit, okay? But not like, hey, this is really neat reclaimed things. Mm-hmm. It was more like plastic gizmos that were made in China or something. And then he would sell them. I don't know if he's door to door or what he did, but he sold shit out of the back of his van. He was weird. He was really weird.
And at right after the funeral was the opportune time to make sales?
Well, no, he wasn't doing it to try and make a sale. We were out, after we left, because we ended up leaving the Knights of Columbus, we were in the parking lot, and he was being nice, and he gave me a yo-yo.
Okay.
Out of the back of his van. I remember it lit up. It sparked.
Oh.
When you played with it. So I had the yo-yo. I still have the yo-yo probably in a box in my parents' attic somewhere. But, yeah. It happened. Some of my details as far as why we're there and all that, I don't exactly know.
And see your justification of, no, it wasn't a dream, because then my dad's second cousin started selling shit out of the back of his van. That just does not at all legitimize what you said as not being a dream.
No, but I have the object.
Okay, I see where you're going, but I'm like, that's just as bizarre as eating crumbs off of the closed-up Knights of Columbus Hall.
It's extremely bizarre. But that's most of my childhood.
Great.
So that I know it actually happened. I remember getting the object or the yo-yo and playing with it for, you know, a long time after.
I'm going to talk to your mom.
We'll figure out what happened here. It's probably one of those stories where they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that was. That never happened. Oh, but it did. I wonder how much of that stuff where that happens. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. How much it did, and she's just not. I don't think
I would have just shared that with all of our listeners.
Why? Nothing because bad happened. It was just weird.
It's gross. You ate shit off the floor.
I was like 5. Ugh. Kids eat shit off the floor. I was 5.
But kids also pick their nose and eat it, but not everybody shares
never
that.
Never did that. I will say that I was never a pick and eat person.
Okay.
I always thought that was kind of gross. So I'm kind of disappointed that our little one does it. It's like... I thought maybe she'd inherit the feeling that that's not a good idea.
She's really little. She only does it because we harp at her and say, no, don't do that when she does it.
Yeah, she gets a reaction. So
anyway.
It continues. So anyway, on to our real ghost stories. I thought it was just a spooky little, no ghosts involved, but it was a spooky environment. A lot of
random ass shit.
Random things in a closed Knights of Columbus. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Kicking it off today, Jeff writes in, when I was a kid in the early 80s, my stepdad played softball. Then we went to a Knights of Columbus Hall. During his tournaments at Fort Boise, I would explore around since we would be at the ballpark all weekend long. I was walking on a nature trail and felt that it was getting close to the time I needed to be back, so I left the nature trail and started to walk on an access road back to the ballpark. I found the old Fort Boise Cemetery. I wandered through the cemetery looking at the headstones, trying to find the oldest headstone. I didn't stay long since I knew my stepdad's ball game would be over soon, if it wasn't over already. I got back onto the service road and started to walk back to the ball field. I had a feeling that I needed to look back at the cemetery again. I noticed something black behind one of the headstones. I thought it was a shadow, so I didn't give it much thought. Turned and started to walk away. After I walked a few feet down the road, I turned and looked again, and the black object was still there but seemed taller behind the headstone. I did this a few more times before I rounded a corner on the service road and each time I looked back at the cemetery, the black object was even taller, the last time being 3 or 4 feet taller than the headstone in front of it. The object wasn't in the shape of a person. It looked more rectangular, but was as wide as the headstone. I thought it might be a shadow, but it was the middle of the day during the summer. I walked past the cemetery again afterwards, but never saw anything strange like that again. I found your show on YouTube, and I'm really enjoying listening. I look forward to hearing more.
Okay, when you're walking away, a shadow does not increase in size if it's a natural shadow. That tells me there's something there, probably just hanging out by the headstones.
Going, hey, who's this stranger looking at me?
Yeah, because, I mean, visibly, when you're walking away, shadows get smaller as you turn around and look back.
It was always exciting when you find a new cemetery you are unaware of.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed that.
Okay.
As a kid, like, when you're driving around with my parents, if we're, like, out in the country going to a supper club on some new route. Because my dad likes to kind of take other shortcuts, if you will. And every once in a while, you're out there in the woods. And sometimes you'll find a really cool, old, creepy cemetery, like in a big patch of woods. And it's not usually very big cemeteries, but I got excited about that when we were driving around as a kid.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'd love to go explore that more. But, you know, it's like in the middle of nowhere and there's, you know, nothing, no way to get there. And, you know,
sure. You're
eight. I always enjoyed finding hidden cemeteries.
I don't think I've ever found a hidden cemetery.
No?
Mm-mm.
No, there's lots of them. Go look sometime.
Okay.
Go wander in the woods. Find one or two. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I was kind of excited to see on a tweet the other day about the new Ghostbusters movie.
Mm-hmm.
They have revealed the look of the new Ecto-1.
Oh.
This is... It's a neat take on it. If you remember the original movie, which came out in 82 or 83-ish, was a 20-year prior, a 20-year-old at the time, Cadillac hearse. And in 1982, 83, that would have been what? 62, 63?
62 or
63. Hearse. Well, same concept for this one, except this hearse... This Cadillac hearse that they're using would have been brand new, or probably not even around quite yet at the time the original Ghostbusters came out. It would have been a new model.
Oh, really?
Or one of the future, because it's, I believe, a 20-year-old Cadillac hearse.
20 or 30?
Is it 30? Maybe it's a 30-year-old.
It looked more like a 30.
Might be a 30-year-old one.
Yeah.
And the movie itself is you know, beyond 30 years old now, so it still would have been a car of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty damn old, you know, in this one. But it was just a neat, you know, kind of, nod to the original.
Yeah.
That, hey, we're going to get do the same Cadillac hearse, but it's not going to be an identical. And it makes you go and look at the new model, the 30-year-old one. And the 60-year-old one and go, damn, that 60-year-old one is so much cooler. I don't know how cool car shows are going to be in 20 years from now.
Well, sure.
You know, sure. I think they're going to, I mean, people are going to have to stick with, like, cars from, like, the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some 70s for the car shows. Just because car designs really got shitty.
Yeah.
Into the 70s and 80s and 90s. And they lost that mystique. They lost that cool factor, that neatness where you go, oh, wow, look at the way they designed that car. They all just kind of started looking really boxy and shitty. And then in the 90s, we got a little more curvy. We took some of those boxes off, but still nothing like you see an old car and go, oh, that's awesome.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I think the end of the cool looking cars, like car show wise, that would be interesting to see was kind of like the Trans Ams, the Smokey and the Bandit.
Sure.
That was like the end, and that was late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah. I mean, there was little, you know, gems here and there in that era that were okay. But after that, it was just, I don't know. I don't see myself ever getting excited to go look at cars that came out in the 80s. Or very many of them.
Well, you never know. In 30 years, we might be there.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just a perspective thing. Like my mom gets excited and going and seeing, you know, the car that she had growing mm-hmm. up, you know, or her first car. She ended up getting one. But I don't ever see myself getting excited to go try and find my 82 Pontiac Sunbird. It was a shitty car then. It'd be a shitty car if I saw it today. And I think I would feel that same way 20 years from now.
Sure.
I don't think I'd ever like be, oh, I'm going to get that car and drive around in it. I'd be like, that's a huge safety hazard to try and drive that thing. Mm-hmm. It was back then too. I don't know. And this things, I don't know, change. Anyhow, that's my thoughts.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Another letter. Hey guys, love the show. I thought I'd write to you about an interesting event that happened after I began meditating, exploring into paganism and my Native American religion roots. As many of my friends knew, I had always been a fan of everything that involved the paranormal. And opening up to the spiritual world through my religion is like a dream come true for me. I should have known, though, that as I got further into the religion, if you want to call it that, that friends would always ask me questions about spirits in their homes, dream meanings, and even ask if something as simple as the wind blowing the door shut was a demonic spirit trying to eat them. Typical questions, texts, and phone calls were normal, and I'd give answers the best I could. Then I got a call from a friend that left a memory that will never leave my mind. I don't know what the spirit was, but it made sure I would always have it in the back of my mind. I got an odd call from the friend. Forewarning, before you read further, I can say this friend was an idiot when it came to the paranormal. While at his house, he claimed doors were opening and closing. He told me drawers opened, chairs moved, and knocks and thumps were almost constant for the past 3 days. I was interested in what was going on and asked him what sparked the activity, so he reluctantly said he went to a graveyard and disrespected the spirits because they wouldn't make any noise or do anything. After I called him an idiot, I asked him if he was okay if the activity was up at the moment, and he said it was on and off that day. I told him to relax and call me if anything happened while I packed my travel bag with a few tools and candles and headed to his house, and he hung up and waited for my arrival. I remember feeling uneasy on my way to his house, and I remember feeling like I was being followed down the street his house was on when I finally got close. I remember feeling like I wanted to turn around and go home when I walked up to his house. I thought there was no turning back now once I got to his door. When I knocked on his door, I felt like everything inside and out of the house went dead silent. When the friend opened the door and I put my foot inside the doorway, I felt like I was hit with a brick wall. The energy was so intense I couldn't think. My body went numb. I couldn't breathe. Whatever was in his house clearly didn't want me there. I knew what I was there for. I backed away from the door, and once I got to the sidewalk outside his house, I felt exhausted. My friend kept calling to me, asking if I was okay. My friend said he watched me turn white and looked sick when I tried to enter his house. He even told me he thought I was having a heart attack. I called back to him when I caught my breath, saying, I don't know what you did or what the hell that thing is, but you need to deal with it on your own. I can't do anything. I still don't know what was haunting him, but the spirit was very strong, and from time to time, I have nightmares of waking up to his house to see gruesome things inside his door. I can say I have gained experience with the paranormal since that incident, but if I can spread a lesson to those who decide to ghost hunt or study the paranormal, then the message would be to never disrespect a spirit. A spirit can be vicious and very unforgiving. Most importantly, be careful when dealing with spirits. Some may not be what they seem.
I think that's very wise words, because obviously, if you're listening to this show, you have an interest in the paranormal. And I know we have some that go out and want to explore certain places. And, you know, that's kind of a do-it-your-own-risk thing, obviously. But I think it's always important to remember that, you know, that spirit is bound there for whatever reason. And to not disrespect it, because it can wreak havoc on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you may or may not be able to fix it.
Yeah, not every Ghostbuster is interested in putting themselves at extreme risk to make them go away or have the ability mm-hmm. to either, especially if it's very dark. I mean, we've heard stories from folks who who go out and investigate all sorts of stuff. And there's many cases where they just go and go, nope, this is beyond me.
Yeah.
This is nothing I want to be involved in. I don't want it attaching to me. It's just too damn dark. Mm-hmm. Whatever you did, I'm sorry, but it's all on you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those things you really need to be careful about. And yes, the show is about ghosts. It's also about quiche.
What?
Quiche. You know, the egg dish. So now we're going to go to our quiche segment where we discuss how to make a lovely sausage, egg, and cheese quiche. Jenny?
You are the most random person I've ever met in my life.
The new show's name is Real Ghost Stories and Awesome, no, Bitchin' Quiche Recipes.
Do you want me to read a story?
No, I'm good.
Did you take cold medicine or something?
No, I didn't take anything.
Okay.
Bitchin' Quiche Recipes. It's like when you have a business where it's like Vic's Tires and More. You know, there's a lot where businesses add the word and more onto the end. And you never really go like, if it's a tire store, what the hell else are you selling? Like, what do you mean and more? I guess wiper blades or something maybe. But it's just kind of like, what does it mean? The and more.
Okay.
So Real Ghost Stories and More. And I can add something new every day.
Okay.
Quiches is the thing today. Emily Rose writes in. I wonder if that's the real name.
Probably not.
Probably not. I used to spend a lot of time at hospitals when I was younger because I had cancer and was going through chemotherapy. The nurses were usually pretty relaxed, and since I had to stay the night for treatment, my parents often left me alone. Now, this is an old hospital that was built in the 1950s, so rightfully, there were a lot of deaths that occurred over the years. One such death was a nurse on the ninth floor, who, after being dumped by her boyfriend, was hysterical and bawling her eyes out. Now, back then, sometimes an elevator door would open without the elevator cart present. This was such a time. The nurse fell to her death on the ninth floor, and she has never left. Nowadays, the ninth floor is practically abandoned, used primarily for storage. Me, being my sneaky self, would steal a key from the front desk and would explore the hospital alone. One night, I ventured up to the ninth floor, my IV in one hand, the stolen key in the other. The lights are flickering and you can hear a soft hum from the generators. At the end of the hall, there floated a woman, dressed all in white with a curious crimson stain on her stomach. I walked towards her and she just disappeared. An odd cool breeze swept past me. Creeped out, I turned to walk towards the elevator. The moment the elevator door dinged open, someone tugged my hair back gently. Weirdly, I felt that she was a more motherly and comforting spirit and knew she was not malevolent. I can't say this word.
Malevolent.
Malevolent.
We've been working on it for 18 months.
We're getting there. Making progress. Oh, our 2.5-year-old's going to probably pass.
Yeah.
Malevolent, but just lost. This is the only time I saw a ghost on floor 9. Though she wasn't the last that I saw at that hospital. Man, I wish I had a hospital like that to go to.
Really?
Creepy, scary. Floors with abandoned shit all over it. Oh. I can't really imagine that would exist today.
No.
Just because of health codes and such, where it's like, hey, if someone has access to this area, probably not a great idea.
I want to hear about the other ghosts.
Yeah. What else was going on there? Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's like a hospital. You know how we hear a lot of stories? Like yesterday, we were talking about the one in New York on Long Island,
King's Park.
I wonder if this one was one, you know, and that was an institution, you know, for individuals with mental illnesses. Is that the correct terminology?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure. You know, there's other hospitals and such that have come and gone over the years. There's a lot of abandoned hospitals out there. But there was a lot, sometimes we get stories of, and then we went and explored the abandoned hospital or whatever it was, institution of some sort. And a lot of them ended service that are being explored today in the early 90s, mid 90s. So, just being that there's a whole abandoned floor on this one, I wonder if this is today still even in existence or if it's just one of those that was getting ready to be abandoned at some point.
I don't know. You would think they would have to have some kind of storage area.
Sure.
You know, makes you wonder how many hospitals have a floor that is for storage of equipment and extra supplies, you know? Because what do they got to, I mean, God forbid something major happens, but what do?
Mm-hmm.
They have to have a place to have extra supplies and things.
That's true. I guess what just stands out to me is I don't recall, and not that I've sat there and like pressed every button on the elevator
mm-hmm.
at a hospital to make sure every floor is active. I don't really recall there ever being a floor on any hospital I've gone to where it's like, nope, nobody can go on this floor. I mean, unless it's like the surgery unit, you know, or some sure. area that is, you know, but they're usually like seems to be cordoned off for medical practices of some sort. I'm just imagining, you know, this, you know, you go from normal hospital setting to whoosh, creepy, all sorts of, you know, abandoned. This used to be kind of hospitalish area, but not anymore. Paint peeling.
Yeah.
All that.
You know, I would imagine that's not something they would advertise as to, you know, here's a floor where we keep all of our random shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, because honestly, if you're there to see somebody, you're just going to go to the floor you're supposed to go to.
Sure. Unless you're like us and are aware that there's a creepy abandoned floor where a ghost lives.
Maybe, you know, maybe that's like the basement or whatever.
Visit the cafeteria. Visit floor 9.
Yeah.
Visit all sorts of fun things at our hospital, Kingdom Hospital. That's at Stephen King.
Okay.
Little not documentary, but miniseries that was out like 98. Julie. All right, Sin, I love what you guys are doing and enjoy listening to you on YouTube when I can. I've had a few encounters over the years, both in my home and outside of it. With all my encounters, I've always tried to explain them with a rational mind. One encounter was different, though, and has left me wondering why it happened. A few years back, before I was in college, I was eating pizza one Friday night with my family at home. I was sitting on the tile floor in the living room, watching TV while my parents stayed in the kitchen. It was around 3 to 5 p.m., and I was not tired at the time, either, when this happened. At some point, I noticed what looked like the side profile view of a man with a hat on. This was near the entrance on the other side of the kitchen that was further away from me. The thing I saw was pure black and had no features like eyes or a mouth. I later learned that this could have been a shadow person. I was confused when I read about them, though, because I felt no fear or dread from this one, and I looked at it for a while without turning away, and when I looked back, it was gone. I looked this thing dead on and not out of the corner of my eye. To this day, I still don't know why this happened to me. I had no idea it would lead up to something much worse later on that would leave me scared for the whole day. That is a story I'm saving for later on, along with many more.
Everybody's leaving cliffhangers today on their stories.
It is.
So it sounds like that person, Julie, saw the shadow man with the hat, which we've heard of before.
Wonder why they wear hats.
I don't know. And I don't know if it's the same hat, if it's a top hat or what kind of hat it is. But we hear about that. The shadow man with the hat, sometimes mm-hmm. with a cape, sometimes the hooded one.
I wonder if everyone could identify what the hat was. When folks write in your shadow man story, if you can tell us what type of hat it was or what it looked like, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a hat expert. I can tell you what a top hat looks like. I can tell you what a fedora looks like. I can kind of describe a country western hat, although it kind of, you know, there's all different types, you know, so it's hard to say specifically what type of hat it was. And I suppose if it's just like an outline, it'd be a little even more difficult.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Pilgrim hat.
Pilgrim hat. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Kind of rounded.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's, can the shadow people have different hats? Can they, is it about the era that the ghost is from?
See, I didn't know.
I wonder.
I didn't know if it's like a particularly common,
mm-hmm.
particular shadow person that people are seeing.
I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
We should call a hat store. And ask, what type of hats do shadow people prefer? Wonder how long
they'll
it would take to get
you.
Hung up on for that one.
Yeah.
Steven writes in, okay, so this happened when I was about 5 or 6. I used to be deathly afraid of the dark, so as a comfort, I had an old antique lamp from my deceased grandmother. was this old brass lamp about 3 feet tall in my room back then. I had my bed against the walls, and to the left was my closet, an empty closet with a lamp on. I used to see the shadow dance around my room. One wall on the other, then it would slowly go from whatever wall it was on and move to the closet door. Now, my closet door was a proper door. It needs to be opened using the handle. It would jingle furiously, then slowly turn and click. Open fully, and there was this figure, which was up on the shelf, and there lying flat, like I couldn't see it. I could see the face, which was something I cannot forget. A long pointed nose, slopped slightly downward, wrinkled mouth opened awkwardly, and these eyes, which I can't explain, yellow and bright, but no glow, and it would stare at me. Not menacingly, but just a stare. I haven't told anyone this, and I've tried, but I just get told you shouldn't believe in that stuff. Ever since those first few nights, I have had irregular sleeping patterns, and the fear of the dark is gone. Sometimes it's better to know what's lurking. Better not to know what's lurking in the shadows.
Well, it's not going to stay in the shadows if it's going to jiggle the door and open it and come out.
And you can see its eyes.
That's never good.
That's really creepy.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if the lamp had something to do with it, if that started up with the lamp, or if the lamp just made it easier to see something that was already there.
It's just like an extra point to this story that's really not an integral part, but just because of the timing seems to be questionable.
Yeah.
I could see that. Because there really wasn't a whole lot involving the lamp. Other than the timing.
That and the light.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the shadows dance.
If you put a different lamp in there, what happens? I would try that. See if a different lamp has the same effects.
I don't know if that's something that's still ongoing, though.
That's true.
Because that sounded like he was pretty little.
Give the lamp to a younger sibling, see what happens. I had that exact same experience, too. No. Yeah, that's true. It probably was a long time ago. Very creepy story. Megan writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. My name's Megan. I'm from Wisconsin, living in Oshkosh currently. It's my first time writing in, so please bear with me. I just want to say something referring to a previous story. I had a lady with a pet pig. Jenny said she didn't think pigs would go near bacon. My father had owned a pet pig named Harley, and he indeed enjoyed eating bacon quite a lot. He was very intelligent, and me being 13 and disgusted by it, I'd warn him he might be eating his distant family. But he still loved it. Haha. Anyway, in 2014, my life became rather difficult earlier in the summer, and so I decided to move in with my best friend, her fiancé, and her two little girls, my nieces, in a small town near Stevens Point. Shortly after moving, we found a bigger place and moved in. From the start, I had started experiencing things. I've had experiences my whole life, and I find them rather exciting, so these did not bother me. I thought I'd been the only one experiencing things, but later found out I was not. Later in the winter, I had been woken up to watch my nieces for the day. They still had been asleep, so my best friend told me to just go into her room and fall back asleep with the girls. My oldest niece, we'll call her M, was almost 2, and my younger niece, who I've always called Muffin, was around 8 months, so she'd been sleeping in the crib while M was in her parents' bed. My bedroom was rather big. It had been a garage at one point and was turned into an additional room to the house. There was a normal door to lead to the outside, and the room and the bed was against it to open up the heat vent. And they had a curtain hung up over the door. The crib was in the corner diagonal from the bed by the bedroom doorway. That information is relevant to the story. Anyways, I fell back asleep and had a very strange dream or nightmare before this experience happened. In this dream, I was sitting on their bed. The girls weren't there and everything was set up the same. My mother and brother were in the room with me screaming at me, saying horrible things that they would never say to me. But that's not what I was really concerned with. In the corner by the crib was a dark shape of a man. I couldn't see him clearly. I was focused on him, though, ignoring my family. His presence was very distracting. I kept trying to see him better, but every time I would try, my vision would get blurry. It seemed to go on forever. my family yelling, me just staring at this man, but then all of a sudden he smiled at me. The dream began to fade and I began to actually wake up. My eyes were still closed and my mind was still on the weird dream. Thought maybe I'd fall back asleep if I didn't open my eyes. It was very silent in the room. I could hear my nieces breathing peacefully while they slept. All of a sudden, I heard a deep man's voice that sounded very much near the crib yell, "Hey!" Immediately after I heard that, the curtain rod hung above the door fell right on my head, and before it hit, Muffin began to cry hysterically. My eyes shot wide open, and I looked around and saw nothing there. Em looked at me while beginning to cry and just said, "Nini," which is what she called me because she couldn't say Auntie Megan. I immediately jumped up, grabbed Em, then grabbed Muffin out of the crib and ran from the bedroom to the living room. I heard a manly chuckle come from the bedroom as I began running, then heard footsteps coming after us. The footsteps stopped once I reached the end of the long hallway to the rest of the house. I sat us in the living room and began trying to calm them down. Nothing happened the rest of the day while I was there alone with the girls, but I did feel as if we were being watched, which was a normal feeling in the house. But even more terrifying than that day, it was probably one of the creepiest experiences I've ever had. Thank you for reading my story. Sorry if it was rather long. I hope you enjoy it. I love the show. I listen all the time. You both are amazingly funny, and you make my time at work go by faster. Keep up the good work. If you'd like, I'll write in more of my experiences. Hope you have a lovely day, evening. Go Packers, and fuck the Dallas Cowboys. Sincerely, Megan.
Do you think that what she saw in her dream was the same entity that chased her down the hall with the girls?
I would venture to say that the two are related in some way, shape, or form.
I would think so, too.
When you have that vivid of a dream and then suddenly paranormal things are happening outside of your dream, yeah, I would say it usually means that there's something connected there.
Okay.
I would be... I wonder how much longer she lived there after that.
Know. Yeah, I don't know.
Very, very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's in Oshkosh?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what she said? Okay. That's a creepy little town into itself. I lived there for a couple of years. There was a really actually kind of a neat thing. If you want to talk about, they have an opera house downtown that's haunted.
Uh-huh.
And it's a fairly well-known haunt. I'm trying to think of the other haunted places in Oshkosh. But what they did, there's actually something that's kind of neat about the town. A couple years back, and I was not there for this. I had recently left after or before they did this. The movie, what was it? The Johnny Depp, he was a gangster. I know that doesn't narrow it down. He was playing Dillinger.
Okay.
I think it might have been called Dillinger.
Okay.
The movie. In Oshkosh, they used as a setting for a large portion of the movie. As like the old town.
Mm-hmm.
And Oshkosh actually was on Dillinger's route from where he would go. But to film part of this movie, they basically shut down the downtown for a long period of time. And they made it look like, you know, that era of Dillinger's time. And they redid the storefronts and they redid all sorts of stuff to make it look of the era. And when they weren't filming, they obviously would let people go down to the downtown. And my parents had a chance to wander down there and, just take some pictures and go into some regular old stores and stuff. But it was the pictures I saw were awesome. I mean, it would be if you didn't know what was going on and you just happened to go through the town at that time, I could see that being a very creepy experience.
Uh-huh.
You know, I could see us getting a letter someday going, "And I drove through Oshkosh one day and looked like it was from the 1920s, you know, and then I drove by 3 weeks later and it was back to the like 2000, whatever that it was being filmed in." But not super ghost related, but, you know, our audience likes period and weird and creepy. And
sure.
This is kind of a neat thing.
Uh-huh.
So, anyhow, that's all I got on Oshkosh.
That's cool.
And the opera house. It's creepy. Davey writes in, "Hello, I'm a huge fan of your show, although I have just recently watched my first video on your channel this week. That being said, I'm going to tell the story now. I live in the state of Tennessee and have lived in a house on Clicktown Road. I don't live there anymore because we moved and the house was torn down around a month later. This house is where the happenings took place. Keep in mind, I was very young while the occurrences took place, and much of this was told to me by my parents. Ever since we moved there, weird things had been happening, such as Dad seeing a lady walking around the living room every night at a specific time to seeing a naked lady at the foot of their bed. And the rest of my siblings have had next to no such encounters with the lady, but the bathroom always scared me so much that I, more often than not, run past it out of pure fear. I haven't heard my name called every morning around 12 times, but the freakiest thing to happen to us while living there would have been one occasion on Christmas. On Christmas, while opening presents, my mom was taking pictures of us. Everything was normal and all until we took one more picture and had all of them developed. The last picture developed had the TV in the frame, and in the reflection was a room that was never there. And in the room was a brass bed, much like what we had now. And on that bed sat a girl that looked to be from the 50s or 60s. No one ever knew her. We still have the picture. The last case that I can remember was the one that caused me to have respect for everything living, dead, or otherwise. As a child, I had no respect for anything, but did love my parents and friends. I was also a mean little one. But one night, I was thirsty, got up to get some water. Our house is set up where you have to pass the living room and the bathroom to get to the kitchen. And if you remember what I said about those places, it's not fun to be in either of the two. So as I was making my way into the living room, I felt a sudden need to look at our TV, which is off at the time. And in the TV, I saw my sister 2 feet behind me, peering over my shoulder. My 5-year-old sister, whom I was much older than, at first I was confused about this because she was not there when I walked in. I was suddenly stricken with fear and turned to see if she was there, but she was not. I immediately turned to the TV to confirm my suspicions, and she was practically beside me. I was mortified to see her impossibly wide grin and ran out of my room immediately. There are other stories to such as that naked lady rotting after kissing my dad. Anyway, I am plagued by nightmares, painful. I can feel the kind of nightmares, most of which involve my death, mainly bleeding from my jugular and forced to walk in eternity, never stopping the bleeding. Anyways, thanks for letting me share my stories and have an amazing day.
Okay, the room that was not there makes you wonder if there ever was that room attached to the house. That's really interesting.
And both involving the TV.
Yeah.
You know, like the TV being some sort of a portal or reflection of the past or paranormal. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. You almost have to wonder, too, because both of the times there was a reflection of a little girl in the TV.
Yeah.
One time they thought it was, you know, someone from the 50s or 60s. The other time he thought it was his sister. I wonder if it's the same person that he's seeing and he's just thinking it's his little sister, because that's what your mind would go to if you have a house with a little sister in it. Mm-hmm. You see a little girl reflection immediately. It must be my little sister.
Yeah.
I wonder how vivid the reflection was to be able to identify or if it's just an assumption that that's my little sister.
Or something that changed its appearance to seem less threatening.
Then you have that too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's interesting. The house is gone now, so nobody will know.
Unless someone builds another house there. Probably will. Danielle writes in, Dear Tony and Jenny, this is Danielle from Ohio. I love your show, and I'm a proud EPP. Look forward to seeing the new EPP site soon. Well, Danielle, it's up and it's running, and you can see it today.
But that's how far back we are on stories.
So when she wrote this in, it wasn't quite ready yet.
It was, mid-June.
Okay, it's up and running, everyone, by the way. If you like to be an EPP, check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP, and you will go there, and it's beautiful. It is beautiful. It's all the old episodes on it, all the bonus episodes, new video content, couple Ask Tony and Jenny's up there, video versions, our video documentary. So anyway, check it out. Anyway, today, I'm writing in about strange events that took place at my parents' home in New Mexico. There are at least 3 or 4 strange instances that occurred when I was living in that home between the ages of 7 and 22. The first strange thing I can remember happening is standing in front of a plastic cup and watching it slide across a countertop in my parents' kitchen. Even though I must have only been around 8 years old, I remember clearly watching the yellow cup with a sunflower printed on the side, full of water, slide about 10 inches to my left across the counter. I did not feel scared at the time and tried to brush it off. I was young and thought to myself, well, maybe cubs do that sometimes. I was alone in the kitchen when this happened and never told anyone in my family about it. I've had that happen with cubs.
You have not.
Where the cup slides? Yeah, it's just, it's really, if there's like a slight amount of condensation on it and your environment is correct, like here, my cup here, a little bit of condensation on the bottom.
Okay.
And that's not because I spilled, it's just it's condensation. And if you have the right countertop or whatever, whether it be a table, countertop, whatever, sometimes once that condensation builds up, it can essentially kind of make the cup slide.
Okay.
So, not saying that that is what happened here, could be what happened here, but that does indeed happen.
If it's full of water?
Yes.
Okay.
I've had it happen. I've watched it happen. And then I feel the cup like, oh, it's the water. It's essentially kind of like, you know, aqua treading in a car.
Hydroplaning. Okay.
Yeah. When you have, you know, too much water, your car can slide, essentially, and the wheels will, it's the same principle, kind of.
Okay.
Except, you know, the cup can be at a standstill and enough condensation is built up. It's just, it's kind of like sitting in a puddle that's rising.
Okay.
So, could be that, may not be that. I may have just calmed a haunting fear or thought, or I may have, you know, just maybe like, oh, no, there was, you know, it wouldn't do it on this surface.
What else happened?
This wood that I'm talking about.
What else happened in our story?
The second incident took place when I was around the same age. My parents were out on a date, and my babysitter, Kim, was watching me. Kim and I were playing cards or a board game at the kitchen table. There were three chairs positioned around the table. They were padded metal swivel chairs that moved on casters. Kim and I were seated across from each other with the empty chair sitting in Kim's right and my left. As we were playing our game, the empty chair suddenly jerked away from the table. The chair didn't move very far, but did make quite a clanging noise when the casters struck the tile. Kim and I looked at each other in shock. We were sitting too far away from the chair for one of us to have kicked it, and there were no dogs or cats inside the house at the time. There's no clear explanation for why this heavy chair suddenly rolled away from the table. Kim looked nervous and asked me, "Does that happen all the time?" And I tried to play it and said, "Yes." I realized now that Kim was trying to ask me if the house was haunted, and my answer probably freaked her out more than she already was. But to my 8-year-old mind, I thought that reassuring her that, yes, this sort of thing happens all the time would make her feel better. The truth is that the chair had never moved on its own before and hasn't since. A third incident happened when I was in high school. One night I was sitting in front of the TV doing some math homework in one of those floor rocking chairs that video game players like to use, the kind whose seat sits right on the floor. I stood up to use the bathroom and set my mechanical pencil on the floor on top of my math papers. When I returned to my seat, my pencil was nowhere to be found. I searched around the chair, got down to my hands and knees, and looked under the chair, but the pencil was gone. I sat back down in the rocking chair, wondering where my pencil could be. When the pencil suddenly fell onto my head and then onto my lap, I looked up thinking my dad was playing a joke on me, but no one was in the room with me. I've had other strange experiences in the house, including hearing a child's disembodied laughter. My parents claim to have never experienced anything strange in the house, but my 20-year-old cousin recently moved in with my parents and she does not like to be alone in the house because it feels creepy. I'm not sure why these things happened in the house. The house was built in 1991 on farmland, and my parents are the only people to have ever owned it. I wonder if some of the activity is the spirit of my mother's stepfather, who killed himself in the desert in 1991, shortly after we moved into the house. He was not a good man and sexually abused my mother and her sisters. What do you guys think? Could it be the spirit of my mother's stepfather? By the way, these incidents happened in the warmer months when the heater, our only gas appliance, was not in use, so I'm pretty sure that carbon monoxide can be ruled out. Thanks for reading and take care, Danielle.
I don't know. It seems very playful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has something more to do with the disembodied child's laugh.
Yeah, I don't really get, you know, menacing out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the cup could have just been the condensation thing if it happened in summer.
Sure.
But the other two, obviously, chairs don't do that, and pencils don't, you know, fall from the ceiling. So, I think something's going on there. I don't know if I would necessarily just jump to whoever recently died.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's hard to know what happened on the farmland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the land may have a story to tell. So I wouldn't write it off just because the home is only, you know, 25 years old now.
There's bodies underneath your house.
No.
855. No. Could be.
You're going to give people nightmares.
That's my goal every single day. That's what we do. That's the point of the show.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Charlie writes in, hi, I'm a 21-year-old person from Utah, and I'm new at listening to the show. I started from the first episode about 3 days ago, and I'm about 9 months behind on the show now. So I don't know if you guys are interested in the story. Well, one night, about 9 months ago, actually, I was standing in front of the small TV that was sitting on the Netflix main menu screen with the volume all the way down just in case something played so it wouldn't wake anyone up. I was standing in front of the TV in my family room, play arguing with a friend of my siblings who was also staying with our family at the time. By play fighting, I mean he promised to stay up with me all night earlier in the day, and now it's about 2:45 a.m. He was standing in the hallway telling me he was going to bed. He would say, I'm going to bed, and I would reply, no, you're not. Things of that nature. Well, finally, he said, okay, well, I'm actually going to bed now. And I teasingly said no, sternly. And I remember feeling a little angrier about it then. Maybe it was called for. Well, at the moment I said no, the TV screen went completely static and a really high-pitched noise sounded. And I jumped and turned the TV off as quick as I could to not wake anyone up. I looked at my friend and he looked back at me and said, did that just happen? I nodded and turned the TV back on, holding the volume button down. To once again make sure the volume was all the way down. Well, when the screen had enough light, which was quick, it would allow me to see if it had any volume to lower down. And if it did, I would have seen it. I saw the volume was all the way down, so I don't know what the high-pitched noise was. Like I said, I don't know if this story interests you or if you have any insight at all on how that could be explained or not explained. Anything would help. P.S. I do have a small few family ghost stories if you would be interested.
I think it's interesting at the moment of saying something forcefully, mm-hmm. with, you know, whether it was actual emotion or just play emotion behind it, that something happened. It was almost kind of like a surge.
Yeah, that's the part that's interesting to me is the timing, mm-hmm. of it. Had, you know, nothing been going on, they're just talking or whatever, and bam, it does it. Netflix screws up a lot. Even when you have your volume down, there's a lot of explanations for why sound could be coming out of your television.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if something glitches up. It's like this for our listeners who remember having large desktop computers. And some do, I've been informed.
Okay.
You could have your volume all the way down. And if your computer is glitching up, you're still going to get the beep.
Mm-hmm.
From the computer itself, or the buzz or whatever, you know, the sound that if you heard it, you'd know, like, oh, sure. It's that desktop computer sound. Not so much with laptops anymore. I mean, some will do it, but there was always that sound. Even if you have your volume down, your speakers are off or whatever, if the unit is malfunctioning enough, it can do that. But again, going back to the timing, I don't know.
Yeah.
Those sort of things do feed off of energy. And if there was some sort of energy, you know, I once saw a documentary about four guys that lived in a firehouse in New York, and they had this slime stuff and they put it into a toaster.
It was not a documentary. Ghostbusters does not count as a documentary.
And they yelled at it and the toaster would jump.
Okay.
It's a documentary film.
It's
a very well documented film. But anyway, same principle. That's a fictitious movie, obviously, but the whole energy, mm-hmm. argument, which there is some scientific backing of that, not toasters jumping with slime in, but of these sort of things occurring when in a high energy, you know, situation or highly emotionally charged,
mm-hmm.
which is what that idea was based on in that movie. Actual real things translated to a movie about slime.
Okay.
So there you go.
Now we know.
It was a great documentary about those firemen.
They weren't firemen. God.
It's like you're getting angry. Like
it's just like, it's like letting a toddler drive a car. It is all over the place.
It's like Harper. They're not firemen. They Ghostbusters.
You are all over the place today.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, if you like the show, please consider supporting and becoming an EPP Extra Podcast person. You sign up on their website at realghoststoriesonline.com. It helps keep our show on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online and more.